Hi everyone, welcome. If you're joining in the chat, we're happy to have you. So my name is Pamela Cortez. I'm on the Azure IoT team. I'm running the deep dives. I have a special guest today, Raj, who's also on the Azure IoT team, specializing on Edge. So Raj, do you want to give some information about what you're working on?
Sure. I'm Raj. I work on the Azure IoT Edge team. I lead a team that's focused on building integrations into Azure IoT Edge to various other products.
Nice, nice. Well, you might have already seen Raj in a past video. So Olivier did a snack bite video with Raj about the new announcement we made at Build, which is in public preview. We have Kubernetes support for IoT Edge workloads. So this whole video, if you really wanted to deep dive and get more information that wasn't covered in that first video, you're in the right place. So I'm really excited to get started. We're going to be showcasing a quick overview because we've already done that overview in that small video with Olivier and Raj last week that went live. But we're gonna give an overview for folks who maybe didn't see that video. We'll jump into a demo. And then Raj is gonna go into the behind the scenes and then also answer your questions too. So if you have any questions, I'll be on chat and monitoring. And we have Venkat who's also on chat where we can answer your questions live. So let's go ahead and get started.
Sure. So just want to reiterate that we have a little bit of an agenda here that we want to we'll go through, but feel free to post questions, and we're happy to take a look at them. So just to get things started, I thought I'd sort of do an overview of what we announced at Build. I know that some of this material has been covered in the video on the IoT Show channel, but for folks who haven't seen it, we'll just do a quick walkthrough of what we announced. So what did we announce? We announced the public preview release of Kubernetes support for Azure IoT Edge. So what exactly does that really mean? One of the questions that that we frequently get when we talk about Kubernetes and integrating Kubernetes and Azure IoT Edge is why are we doing this? So the basic premise is, we have customers, especially large customers, who are already using Kubernetes, which by far is the leading orchestration solution in the industry at this point. So we have lots of large customers who are using Kubernetes to deploy their existing workloads. For example, some enterprise software that they're deploying on their network, and their IT team has already built a bunch of infrastructure to deploy these workloads, to manage these Kubernetes clusters, to manage the nodes that are part of these clusters. And then we went GA with Azure IoT Edge in 2018. We have customers saying, this is great, but what this represents is another piece of infrastructure that we now have to deploy, maintain, build soft, patch the OS that Edge is running on, patch Edge, and so on. So their ask was, look, we already have this Kubernetes cluster and we have built a bunch of tooling to manage that cluster. Why don't you make Edge work on that? Then that makes the job easier for these customers. So that's what the motivation was for this work. So what exactly does it do? Essentially, what Kubernetes brings to the table is a lot of things is increased resilience to workloads that you deploy on a Kubernetes cluster. So, just the fact that we're running on it, we get to benefit from those resiliency benefits. Basically, the value add that this integration brings to customers is that you're able to use Azure IoT Hub as your as the single pane of glass that you use to deploy your IoT workloads, right? So we are able to continue doing that. So as a customer who is using Edge, they really don't need to know whether the actual Edge device on-premise is a single Edge device or it's running in a cluster, in a Kubernetes cluster, right? So one of the design goals for the integration was that this should be transparent. Like I should be able to do an Edge deployment the way I've always been doing. Like I could go into the portal, I could use the Azure CLI, I could use the CI integration tools and do a deployment, an Edge deployment.
And you can even use the same modules you were using too, right?
That's exactly right. And that's a good point. Like, that was super critical as well. Like, you know, somebody who wanted to deploy a module shouldn't have to do anything different just because it's going to run on a Kubernetes cluster.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
You know, and that's kind of required because we have a marketplace now with, you know, a whole bunch of modules, edge modules. So, you know, those marketplace modules need to be able to run regardless of whether it's on Kubernetes or not. So that's one of the design goals that that this integration seeks to achieve. So the same familiar application model, and essentially, if you know, Azure IoT Edge is an open source project, so you can go take a look at it on GitHub. So one of the design goals for us right from the beginning was that, you know, we have a design which allows a pluggable model for what the runtime is.
Yeah.
Right. So essentially, the way I think of Kubernetes integration is, Edge today runs on a variety of operating systems. Like, we run on Linux, we run on Windows, we run on different distributions of Linux. So there is an abstraction layer inside Edge that kind of shields the core logic of Azure IoT Edge from the runtime, from the environment that it is running in. So what we have done with the integration is basically build another integration, basically another plugin that instead of talking to a MOBI or a Docker container, now it talks to the Kubernetes orchestrator, right? So that's the basic work that we've done here. So the way to think about it is, Edge runs on different operating systems, different SKUs. Now it also runs on Kubernetes. Right?
And I love that because there's a lot of, especially large companies, who are using Kubernetes already. And the fact that they don't have to, you know, change their tooling and everything else, they can still work with Helm, which is a package manager. Mm-hmm. And they can still work with things that they're familiar with IoT Edge.
That's
which
right.
Which is great.
That's right.
Less upskilling new things, yep.
Yeah, so it works both ways. That's a good point because not only, you know, if you're an IoT developer, you use tools and, development and deployment experiences that you're familiar with, that is IoT Hub, CI tools, and so on. But if you're a Kubernetes, operator, then you use the Kubernetes tools, right? Like you mentioned, Helm is native to Kubernetes. Like, Helm is how is a very popular way of deploying Kubernetes workloads, right? If you don't know about Helm is essentially a package manager for Kubernetes. There's a CLI, and there's a, with Helm version 2 at least, you deploy this pod into your cluster, which essentially manages your Helm packages. The Helm packages are called as charts.
Yeah.
These are tools that are native to the Kubernetes world, and we're using those exact same tools. So essentially, we're going to go into more detail, but we basically take the Edge application manifest and essentially translate it. Like, that's like at a 10,000-foot view is, what does the integration do? It translates your Edge manifest into a Kubernetes application definition.
Yeah.
That's basically what it's doing, but we'll go into more detail as to exactly what that translation looks like. And we also support running multiple Edge devices on the same cluster. You know, we have customers who, you know, wish to deploy, you know, different kinds of workloads and manage them as, you know, as different IoT Edge devices.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the ability to run all of them on the same cluster,
which is nice. I mean, I could see that being a very popular feature because the customers and partners I worked with definitely wanted that capability, and we're using multiple different gateways and different to be able to do that all in one cluster is going to be powerful.
Yes. In fact, we did not. We did a private preview earlier, and we did not ship this. And we had customer asks who said, you know, this is something that's critical for ours.
It is, yeah.
And then we added that. So on the slide here, there's a little diagram that kind of talks about what the overall architecture is. We'll go into more detail as we go along today. Maybe we'll whiteboard a little bit. And cool. So. Should we jump into the demo, or?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I'm excited. We even have the cluster set up over here for you.
Yes. Cool. So basically, what we have here is a Kubernetes cluster.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I, set up this cluster here for this session was that, you know, the main point here is that we are running Edge on premise, right? This is not about running Edge in Azure Kubernetes service in the cloud or any other Kubernetes installation. This is about running Kubernetes on-premise, right? So this is a on-prem cluster. There is a single controller and three nodes. So let's go ahead and try deploying a workload, edge workload to this cluster. So again, if you've seen the IoT show video before, this is basically the same demo that we did in that session. But just to give you a taste of what the experience looks like for deploying edge onto Kubernetes, mm-hmm. What I have here is four terminals. So essentially, in the top right, what I plan to do is basically run a watch command that's continuously listing namespaces from Kubernetes, right? Kubectl get ns. So the reason why I'm running this particular command is that I mentioned just earlier that you can deploy multiple Azure IoT Edge devices to the same cluster.
Yeah.
So essentially, how that implementation works is the edge integration basically goes and creates a separate Kubernetes namespace representing each edge device. So, I've done a watch in the top right corner here that continuously is listing the namespaces in Kubernetes. Mm-hmm. So when we do the deployment of the device, we should see a new namespace showing up representing that edge device. And if you had more devices, then simply more namespaces. And on the bottom right-hand corner, I want to run a kubectl get pods command and continuously watch that. Essentially, what this is doing here is it's looking for pods in a namespace called MSIoT HDemo1 and G3. Now, this namespace does not exist yet, as you can tell from the terminal on the top. But essentially, when we do the deployment, the edge operator is going to basically create a namespace and add workloads to that, basically pods to that namespace. So those should start showing up on the bottom right-hand corner, as and when they show up. In the bottom left-hand corner, I'm running a node application, which is basically connecting up to IoT Hub and essentially listening for messages from the hub. The reason why I'm running this is the workload that I'm planning to deploy right now is basically it's using the temperature sensor sample module that we have in the marketplace.
Yep.
Also to kind of drive home the fact that that's basically the same module that we have in the marketplace. I did not have to modify that in order to make it run on Kubernetes. Yep. So what that module does is it just simulates a device which is generating some telemetry, basically some temperature data, some pressure data, just generate some random values. It gets you quickly, going and kind of, you're able to, for example, as I have done here, connect an application to the event hub that's behind the IoT hub and essentially read those messages and it just prints it on the screen here. So we know that, something, the data is getting routed all the way from pods on the cluster to IoT hub.
That's nice. And for those who want to test this at your office or at home, if you are excited to do this on the weekends, the Microsoft Docs actually has documentation and tutorial using that module, the temperature sensor one. So it's a common get started module that Raj is using right now.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Let's take a quick look at the at IoT Hub here. So essentially, this is the device that I have pre-provisioned, and I basically have two modules here, custom modules, the temperature sensor, and another one is the web one, which is essentially an Nginx container. So let's go ahead and deploy this workload. So I'll go ahead and run a Helm install. So Helm install, as I was saying earlier, this is installing a chart. That's basically identified here by edge-ks/edge-kubernetes. Mm-hmm. So this particular chart represents, we'll go in a minute, we'll go into some detail as to what is included in this chart, like what workload is deploying to Kubernetes. Mm-hmm. We're setting one particular value for this chart, which is the connection string for that device that we have pre-provisioned in IoT Hub. So I'll go ahead and run the Helm install. So on the top right, you can see that a new namespace showed up, MSIoT, EdgeDemo1, EdgeG3. On the bottom right-hand corner, some pods have been provisioned. Mm-hmm. There's one for EdgeAgent, there's one for IoT EdgeD. And there was a setup pod that goes away after a few seconds. We'll go into some detail as to what that setup pod does.
Okay.
So now it's basically trying to start up EdgeAgent and IoT EdgeD. So this edge agent is a modified version of the edge agent that you normally run on a single node. So essentially, as I was saying earlier, you know, it basically now supports a different runtime. Instead of talking to Docker, now it talks to Kubernetes and does the module translations, right? Module to Kubernetes pods as opposed to Docker containers or Mobi containers.
I think there's one of the comments that I was getting, or a lot of questions I was being asked, is the difference between the modules, containers, and then pods.
Right.
So I don't know if you want to, we can go through that during whiteboarding, or if you want to maybe say something right now about that.
Yeah, sure. So basically, you know, from the beginning when we designed Edge, we wanted the idea of, you know, having this concept of a module was that even though in the first iteration of Edge that exists out there, you know, a module translates into a container, that was simply an implementation detail, right? So the idea of a module is more general than that. That which is basically why we're able to do this integration, right?
Exactly.
So a module could be anything. Like, you know, for example, it is entirely conceivable for someone to have an implementation of the Edge runtime where modules translate into just regular processes, right? You might have, you might have a system where, you know, for whatever reason you cannot run Mobi or you know, whatever constraints you have. Or you might go the other way where somebody wants to translate a module into full blown virtual machines, right? So all of these are possible. Mainly because, you know, the system is not tightly coupled to your runtime choice. So in case of the Kubernetes integration, we just translate them into deployments, Kubernetes deployments.
Okay, perfect.
So on the bottom right-hand corner here, you can see that EdgeAgent was able to fetch the deployment. It deployed the temperature sensor, Edge Hub, and Web 1. And temperature sensor started sending data to Edge Hub, which got routed to the IoT Hub by Edge Hub. And then on the bottom left-hand corner, you can see that some data started streaming in. So basically, this is the quick start or getting started experience, right? So what I thought we could do next maybe is, unless we have questions, is to sort of go into the next level of detail as to how all this is working.
So I just asked that question, and I think someone made a comment about your Mac.
Oh, okay.
Which goes to show that Azure IoT works on multiple operating systems.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. We actually recently, as in like in the last couple of weeks, we had a problem where we couldn't build Edge on the Mac, and now you can. So we had a few compiler errors in the C code base. We fixed those, and now you can actually use the Mac to develop and hack on Edge if you want to do that. Cool. So should we switch to the whiteboard?
Yeah. The fun part, the whiteboarding part.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take away the beautiful sunlight that's coming here, coming in.
Excellent. Cool. So this is the behind the scenes, right?
Yes.
So basically, let's kind of take a look at what actually is going on when we do Helm install and, you know, sort of take it forward from there, right? So why are we using Helm at all? So if you look at the standalone Edge, when we are installing the Edge runtime on, let's say, a Linux device or a Windows device, essentially, the first step that you have to do is install the runtime, right? When we say runtime, what we're really talking about is the IoT Edge daemon.
Yes.
So IoT Edge basically has three key components, or at least three components that the Edge core team builds and ships. One is Edge Agent, which is the control plane for Edge, which is essentially connecting out to the hub, fetching the application manifest, deploying it, watchdogging it, doing status reporting. So all of this is done by Edge Agent. We have Edge Hub, which is, you can think of it as a data plane for Edge. Essentially, Edge Hub presents the same network interface as IoT Hub, right? It's the same API. So if you have an application which is using IoT Hub today, you're able to simply change the connection string and make it point to an Edge Hub instance, and then everything just works without any code changes. So that's the Edge Hub, right? And it also gives you more than that. It also gives you things like it can work with intermittent network connectivity and so on and so forth. Like, you know, it can do store and forward of messages and so on. And then the third piece is IoT HD. IoT HD is basically the system runtime. That's the thing that you install onto a device when you are trying to set up an Edge device. So for example, if you are on a Debian system, we ship Debian packages, you can apt-get install IoT Edge, and then you basically get the IoT HD, which gets installed as a systemd service if you have systemd. And on Windows, it's a system service. This is the thing that basically pulls down Edge Agent, starts up Edge Agent, and it watchdogs Edge Agent, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it's still going.
Yeah. And then, so the so basically, we have to do the equivalent of this installation step on Kubernetes as well, and we're using Helm for that, right?
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So Helm, so basically, when you do, like, you know, it does essentially three, so when you do Helm install, it's basically installing three key basically, it installs a Kubernetes custom resource definition, so representing Edge. And it installs IoT Edge D. And in public preview, it also sets up Edge Agent. So let's go through each of these, right? So a CRD, so Kubernetes custom resource definition. So if you're not familiar with what CRDs are, it's so Kubernetes, you know, one of the reasons I think why it has become so popular is because it has this really, really, you know, it has this extension mechanism which is really flexible.
Yeah.
Right. So, so at the end of the day, you know, if you want to like kind of boil down Kubernetes into like the core of it, like what does it do? It's basically a desired state configuration system, right?
Exactly.
Essentially, what you're doing with Kubernetes is giving it some desired state of the world and saying, make it so, right? And then Kubernetes, over time, is continuously reconciling the actual state of the world with the desired state of the world,
yeah.
Right? They call this process, or the entity that performs this process, a controller. So in when you install Kubernetes, out of the box, you get a bunch of controllers. For example, you get the replica set controller.
Mm-hmm.
So the replica set controller is responsible for making sure that the specified number of copies of your workloads are actually running. So if you say that I want three copies of my web front end to be running in this cluster, then the replica set controller over time is continuously making sure that you have three copies running. So if one of them just crashes, it notices that and makes sure that it brings that up. If a node goes away, then it notices that, brings up all the workloads that were running on that node on a different node. So this is what a controller is. Now, Kubernetes also has an extension mechanism where you can extend Kubernetes with your own controllers, right? Managing resources that Kubernetes is not natively aware of. So this particular pattern is called as an operator pattern in Kubernetes. And that's what we're using to add our integration. So we've basically built a Kubernetes operator that knows how to manage a kind of resource, which is a custom resource that we call Edge deployments. And in this case, Edge Agent. So this is the component that basically implements a Kubernetes operator for managing Edge workloads.
Okay, yeah.
So when you do Helm install, what we go and do is we go and install this custom resource definition inside Kubernetes. So it's basically like teaching Kubernetes about this new kind of resource called Edge deployments.
Yeah.
And then after that, Kubernetes knows about Edge deployments. In fact, you can actually go to your kubectl and say kubectl get Edge deployments, and you'll be able to actually see the Edge deployments that have been installed in your cluster in a given namespace. and then we also install IoT Edge D. IoT Edge D is basically, like I was saying earlier, in a regular single node Edge deployment. IoT Edge D is the component that basically bootstraps the system. So that's basically performing the same function here. So if you think about IoT Edge D as in the normal Edge, you know, it does bootstrap. It also does management of identities, right? When you deploy an Edge workload to an Edge device, IoT Edge D is the component that's going to IoT Hub and creating module identities for your workload. So that it performs the same duty here.
Yeah.
It also sort of abstracts away, you know, access to a hardware security module if your Edge device has one. It performs the same function here. So those are the same things. We've adapted it so that, you know, instead of having to talk to Docker, it talks to Kubernetes. And yeah, and that's it. So these are the three things that the Helm install does.
Cool.
So let's talk about Edge Agent as the you know, that's kind of where the meat of the code lives. So the Edge Agent, let's call it the Edge Agent operator. So the Edge Agent operator, you know, is a Kubernetes controller. Mm-hmm. Like all controllers, it's continuously trying to move the state of the world from the way it is right now into a desired state.
Yeah.
So just like in regular Edge, Edge Agent connects up to IoT Hub, mm-hmm. fetches the workload, basically the application manifest, and then it goes ahead and instantiates a CRD instance, right? So in the Helm install, basically, when I say that it installs a CRD, what it's doing is it's installing the CRD definition. It is teaching Kubernetes about, hey, there is this new kind of resource called Edge deployments.
Yeah.
You know, in the future, don't be surprised when you see this kind of a resource getting created, right?
Yeah.
So that's what the Helm package is doing. Edge Agent Operator is the one that actually creates an instance of that CRD when you do a deployment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the integration occurs, right? So in the normal Edge, it basically takes the manifest and translates that into a bunch of Docker containers or Mobi containers.
Yeah.
In this case, it translates, so you can say it translates an Edge manifest into a CRD instance, right? A CRD Edge instance. And then basically that's the only thing that happens when a new deployment is done to IoT Hub.
Okay. So pretty much that translation. Yeah.
Right. At this point, actually, all it does is it takes the manifest, it plonks it into a CRD object, and then just deploys it into the cluster.
Okay.
At this point, the CRD itself simply has the edge module names. It does not, you know, it does not know about pod, et cetera. And the operator goes and installs a watch on edge CRDs. Right? So essentially, in Kubernetes API, it has this this operating model where you can say, notify me whenever something interesting happens mm-hmm. to objects of this particular type, resources of this particular type. So we have installed, that's called a watch. We've installed a watch for Edge CRD objects, right? Edge mm-hmm. Agent is basically asking Kubernetes to notify it whenever somebody goes and creates a instance of this particular CRD.
Yeah.
So the Edge Agent gets the manifest, application manifest from IoT Hub, creates a CRD instance, that triggers this code to run. Kubernetes notices that, oh, there's an Edge deployment. Mm-hmm. Let me notify the operator that there is a Edge deployment. This thing gets the watch gets notified, and then this is where we translate that into Kubernetes, you know, primitives. Right? So we basically look at the CRD, kind of take, you know, walk through all the modules, you know, the create options, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
and then we translate those into Kubernetes primitives, and then we go ahead and create those primitives. Maybe we can take a look at what the details of that translation, right? Like what gets translated into what.
Yeah.
And then we also install, the operator also installs another watch on Edge pods. So essentially, just like, you know, the watch API is pretty generic. Like you can say watch on any resource, any Kubernetes managed resource. So in this case, we are managing or basically watching Edge CRD instances. We also install a watch for Edge pods, like pods that are basically created as a result of this translation. This is basically done for the purpose of reporting
mm-hmm.
to IoT Hub. Right, so essentially what we do is, so this is one key point of difference between regular Edge and Edge running on Kubernetes, is that we don't, we've kind of given the responsibility of making sure that the workload is running and is healthy to Kubernetes.
Yeah.
That's like Kubernetes is bread and butter, right? Like, mm-hmm. So we don't want to do that job anymore. So at this point, we've just given the workload off to Kubernetes and said, you know, just make sure that this thing keeps running and Kubernetes goes and does its thing.
Yeah.
But then we also need to go and report to IoT Hub the status of the workload, right? So in regular Edge, basically we do that watchdogging, right? Edge Agent does that.
Yeah.
It kind of does what Kubernetes does for us. It goes and makes sure that the modules are running. If they crash or if they quit and they're supposed to be running, then it'll bring them back up and so on and so forth. Kubernetes does that job for us here, but then we also need to do the reporting into IoT Hub so that it can go into the portal and see if your modules are running or if they have,
if
you know, failed.
Good to go, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then so, is there any then difference when you're using Kubernetes at this stage? Any like things that you're used to with Kubernetes, with on the reporting side, with the pods and everything, that's a little bit different if you weren't using Kubernetes and you were just using the IoT Edge runtime?
No. So that's kind of the design goals. Like basically, even on the reporting side of things, you know, it really doesn't look any different from a regular Edge.
It just goes straight to IoT Hub and you know what's going on?
Exactly.
The same look to it? Okay,
exactly.
Great.
The same, you know, if you're used to going and looking at the portal for the status of the modules, you can continue to do that. And we will still report the errors and so on and so forth. And you know, even the at scale deployments, like if you're using IoT Hub to do an at scale deployment, all that, you know, just continues to work as before. Like nothing changes on that side. So that's kind of, you know, to kind of talks to the promise of, you know, being able to not have to worry about whether your workload is running on Kubernetes or not, or a regular Edge. So this is, in a nutshell, what the Edge Agent Operator is doing, right, and continuously. So we could next take a look at, go into next level of detail on you know, the conversion of Edge CRDs into Kubernetes primitives.
Okay, great.
All right. How are we doing on questions? Do we have any?
Let me see. I think we're doing good on questions.
All right.
You're just explaining it so well.
Or I just put everybody to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Pretty sure it's the first one.
All right. So so let's take a deeper dive into what the translation is, right?
Okay.
Like essentially, we're at the point where a CRD has been instantiated in the cluster.
Mm-hmm.
And now Edge Agent gets notified of it by Kubernetes. Kubernetes says, hey, here's a CRD and, you know, for Edge, go do something with it. And then, you know, Edge Agent looks at that CRD and then does a bunch of translations. I mean, some of these are probably pretty obvious. Edge modules basically become pods.
Mm-hmm.
So we do some bit of work when we are doing this translation. Essentially, you know, we go and inject, like in regular Edge modules, expect to have a set of environment variables to be injected into the container.
Mm-hmm.
So that continues to happen.
Okay.
Like we basically, for example, the IoT Hub name, the module ID, the device ID, the generation ID, and a bunch of other environment variables. So all of those things get injected. So basically, you know, the module feels at home. Like it does not know that, you know, this is not running in normal Edge, that it's running in a cluster, because we set up the exact same environment that a module expects to have.
Yep, it's thinking that it's doing the same thing, and I mean, you guys already translated everything. And I mean, you don't have to change anything with this module, which
that's
is
exactly
really nice.
That's exactly right. That's right. And then basically, we go and look at the create options. So in Edge, the way you can sort of customize your container deployments is, today you need to go and set this up in a field called create options in your manifest, right? You have your module, you have your config. Inside the config, the JSON, inside the config, you have create options, where you can go and put pretty much any JSON configuration option that Mobi or Docker supports.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we go and take a look at that and essentially translate, you know, as many as of those settings as possible to Kubernetes equivalent options, right? So for example, if you have port maps, so in create options, you can go and say that my container or module is essentially a network service. This thing sets up a web server on port 1234, and then you go and set that port mapping up in your create options. We go ahead and, you know, look at that and translate that into Kubernetes services.
Okay, that's nice. That's actually a feature that's used a lot with a lot of our partners and customers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's pretty common for people to run workloads which are essentially a service, like offering a service. Edge Hub is a great example, right? Edge Hub offers MQTT, MQP endpoints, and HTTP endpoints for its workloads. So basically, we go and set up Kubernetes services that we port map that into that. By default, we create Kubernetes services of type cluster IP. But this thing can be modified, like if you need a different kind of a service to be created. Mm-hmm. And we'll go into time permitting, we'll go into details as to when you might want to change that.
Okay.
And then, of course, what else? We do volume mounts. So if your create option includes a volume mount, we translate that into a persistent volume claim.
Okay.
So in Kubernetes, how you do persistent state is using persistent volumes and persistent volume claims. So in a nutshell, what that basically allows you to do is, if a workload needs to have some persistent state, right? Why is this important? Because in Kubernetes, pods and containers are ephemeral, transient things that can come and go.
Mm-hmm.
So if your container workload is actually saving some data somewhere, and if you save it in the container file system, you know, that's basically not going to be persisted. Like,
exactly.
Essentially,
exactly.
If Kubernetes detects that your workload is unhealthy or if the node is unhealthy, it's free to just, you know, destroy your pod and bring it up on a different node, right?
Yeah.
So if you had saved stuff on the container file system, that's basically gone. So how Kubernetes solves this problem is using this concept called persistent volumes and persistent volume claims.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an edge deployment where your module has create options which specifies a volume mount, then we basically go ahead and provision a persistent volume claim
mm-hmm.
For that volume mount. This requires a little bit of setup. So basically your Helm install will change. Your Helm install, you basically specify the storage class name and or a persistent volume name.
Okay.
And then we use that information to basically do this translation.
Okay, perfect.
What else? We translate, this is pretty straightforward. Labels become annotations on the modules. So if you have in the create options, if you specify labels on your edge modules, they become Kubernetes pod and deployment annotations. Environment variables, I guess we covered that a little bit before. If you have custom environment variables, they just become environment variables.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward.
We do have a question.
Yep.
Do you support node port with external traffic policy as local, mainly to preserve client source IP? What's the option for those folks who are,
right.
are trying to preserve that?
So that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, when we set up Kubernetes services for port maps,
mm-hmm.
by default we go and set up a cluster IP service, but this can be overridden. So
okay.
basically,
okay.
when you do a Helm install, you can specify a variable called port mapping service type,
okay.
and you can set up any string that is supported by Kubernetes in there. So you can go and set up a node port
mm-hmm.
as the value for that, and then we will go ahead and provision node port services for you. But in practice, we found that node port services are not super useful.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the reason is when you set up a node, you can totally do it. You can go and set up the port, that particular environment variable to node port, and then we will provision node port services for you.
Yeah.
But the way that works is Kubernetes goes and maps your container's network port to a random high port number on the host, right?
Yeah.
So you'll get like 32,500, whatever, right? Like it'll get a port number like that, which it maps to the host. Now, this can still work if you have clients which are Kubernetes aware, maybe, right? They can go to the controller and say, what's the port that this service is listening on? Then you discover where the service are.
Yeah.
Then you're fine. But if you don't have that, then you need to think of other ways. Like basically, this is essentially the gateway scenario,
mm-hmm.
right? So yeah, that's on the agenda. if we want, we can jump into that actually.
And then one other question before we jump into that:
yep.
Are Azure Functions going to be supported?
Yes. So
it's a great question. Both of them were great questions.
Yeah. So yes, the short answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can deploy any Edge module that works today on a regular Edge.
Mm-hmm.
So Azure Functions are supported on Azure IoT Edge, so they work just the same, exactly the same on Kubernetes, yeah.
Even the blob storage and all
yes.
of that?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're using blob storage module on IoT Edge, you can also use that in it.
Yes, so if you're using the blob storage module, you will want to definitely make sure that you set up a persistent volume claim. Because you want the data that's stored by the blob storage module to persist, right? So yes, totally. So that should work too.
Okay, perfect.
Good
tips.
Cool.
And then we got another question.
Yes.
We set IoT Edge config properties like turning on agent and hubs debug mode on Helm set after boot?
Sorry,
I didn't get
the question.
Let me say that again.
Yeah.
Can we set IoT Edge config properties like turning on Edge agent and hubs debug mode on Helm's set after boot?
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So the way to do this would I would say that the way to do this is the same way that you do in regular Edge, mm-hmm. right? So if you were doing this on normal Edge, how would you do it? You would go into your Edge manifest, and yep. you would specify an environment variable for Edge Agent and Edge Hub, right, in its module definition.
Yeah.
So if you're not aware, you can do this, right? So by default, when you go and do a set modules or if you use at-scale deployment, Edge Agent and Edge Hub get auto-configured for you, right? We just mm-hmm. put them there. But it's important to realize that those are just regular modules. Like, you can go mm-hmm. and modify those things, right?
Yeah.
For example, if you want to use to pin your deployment to a specific version of Edge Agent or Edge Hub for whatever reason, you can go do that. You can go and modify those things. It may not be super obvious by looking at the portal, but you know, these are modifiable. So you can totally go and set up an environment variable for Edge Agent Edge Hub to change the log level, for example,
yeah.
and then that will take effect, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe
we can
jump into
the gateway scenario.
The next scenario.
Yeah. All right. Let's do that.
I'm just such a huge fan that if you've already been using IoT Edge, there's not that much difference that you need to do just to get it working with Kubernetes.
Yes.
Looks like a pretty straightforward install as well with Helm. And then also you need Kubernetes 1.1.
That's right.
Yep.
1.1.
Yep.
1.10.
Yeah. 1.10. Yeah.
Yeah. So on that topic, you know, one piece of feedback that we've got from customers, sort of is the reverse of it.
Mm-hmm.
That is, here we have some questions about, hey, I have these Edge deployment options that I want to set. Is it going to look any different for Kubernetes? Short answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the other direction where customers say, hey, I want to do this particular Kubernetes option on my Edge deployment, right? I actually want to know that you're running on Edge deployment. So this is not as well supported, right? So essentially, the abstraction that we're trying to maintain is Edge deployments, you don't have to worry about whether you're running on Kubernetes or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually, we are in the design phases for thinking how this scenario might be handled.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you wanted to go and use some specific Kubernetes feature for which we don't have a translation for today, then that's not supported. So
yeah.
This is something that we are looking forward to from this public preview, right? We would like, if this is important for you, please let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there are more Kubernetes options that you want this translation to support, or if you want an escape hatch the way we have for Docker
mm-hmm.
or Mobi, right, where you can go and set create options and do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Is such an escape hatch a useful thing? Please let us know, because that will help us prioritize some
mm-hmm.
work items. The gateway. So essentially the problem here is you have an Edge deployment inside your Kubernetes cluster. Now you want devices that are downstream to the Edge device, right, inside the network, to be able to connect to services that are running in the cluster. So the short answer is, this experience is no different from what you normally do in a Kubernetes cluster, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you basically expose any service that's running inside a Kubernetes cluster? I mean, forget about Edge for a moment. Any service that's running inside a Kubernetes cluster,
yeah.
how do you make it available to software and other systems that are outside of the cluster? So basically, the short answer is, you do it the same way that you do it normally in a Kubernetes cluster.
Okay.
So for example, if you're in the cloud, if you're using a Kubernetes cluster in the cloud, like Azure Kubernetes Service,
mm-hmm.
what you do is you set up a service where the service type is load balancer, right? And then in Azure, AKS,
mm-hmm.
Azure Kubernetes Service, notices that there is a service of type load balancer in the cluster, and then it goes ahead and provisions a public IP address, right, for
yeah.
that particular service, and assigns it to that service. Now that service has an ingress configured on that public IP for pretty much any other service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the model for on-premise clusters as well. Basically, the way it works is, so we mentioned this Edge Agent environment variable called
mm-hmm.
port mapping service type.
Yeah.
So the first thing that you would do is, when you do the Helm install, during Helm install, you set up port mapping service type to load balancer. Now, by default, on-premise clusters do not have support for load balancer.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is something that it's a value add that typically cloud providers provide, mm-hmm. right? Like Google or Amazon or Azure. When you go and say the service type is load balancer, they provision the IP for you, mm-hmm. a public IP for you, and they set up the ingress, and everything is kind of
that's the
comfort of being in a managed Kubernetes environment, right? Mm-hmm. These things are like just taken care of for you. But if you're on-premise, you know, we need to do some work in order to enable load balancer support mm-hmm. in your cluster. Like one common solution is to use a piece of software called as MetalLB. Mm-hmm. MetalLB is a load balancer for on-premise Kubernetes clusters that essentially adds support for load balancer service type, right? The way MetalLB works is you install MetalLB into your cluster, you configure it with a range of IP addresses, right?
Yeah.
And then MetalLB, what it does is it does basically the same job that Azure, for example, does in AKS. It notices that a service of type load balancer showed up in the cluster. It goes and picks an IP address from the pool of IP addresses that you've given it, and then assigns it to that service. Mm-hmm. Now, you can think of this IP address as a virtual IP. Essentially, what it does is, depending on your, you know, it has a couple of modes that it can work in. For example, on just a regular network, it can essentially use ARP, Address mm-hmm. Resolution Protocol, to bind that virtual IP address to the node on which your to one of the nodes in your cluster, right? And then Kubernetes takes care of the routing after that. Essentially, you know, if you had to draw a picture, essentially what happens is, you know, let's say that this is your Kubernetes cluster. You know, you have, let's say, three nodes. So when you go ahead and install MetalLB, it installs this this daemon set, right? So MLB, mm-hmm. right? MetalLB.
Maybe you might want to move over just a little bit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it goes ahead and installs this daemon set on each node. Mm-hmm. And what happens is when you go ahead and say that the port mapping service type is load balancer in Helm install, mm-hmm. Edge operator will go and deploy a Kubernetes service of type load balancer. MetalLB notices that thing showed up. And basically, you know, it picks one of these nodes and assigns that IP, like, you know, let's say 10.0.0.5 or whatever, mm-hmm. right? So MetalLB picks an IP from that pool and assigns it to, let's say, node 3. Then it goes ahead and broadcasts an ARP message to the network saying that, to announcing to everyone that 10.0.0.5 is now at this MAC address, right? Mm-hmm. The MAC address of node 3. So now basically all the network traffic that's hitting 10.0.0.5 will get routed to node 3,
yep.
right? And once it reaches the MetalLB daemon set agent, essentially, then at that point you're like in the Kubernetes world, right? And then it basically routes that traffic to the service type backing that particular particular service that's backing this particular service. Essentially, you know, you can think of, you know, for example, if my Edge Hub is the service in question, let's say that's running on node 2, mm-hmm. you have kubeproxy. This is basically the proxy installed by Kubernetes on your nodes. Essentially, you know, that you can. I mean, this is not literally how the traffic flow works, but, you know, at a conceptual level, MLB basically routes that traffic to kubeproxy. Kubeproxy mm-hmm. then takes over that network. It takes over that piece of traffic. It knows that this thing is for this particular service. Then it goes and interrogates Kubernetes configuration to find out where it's running.
Yeah.
So after a bunch of hops, you know, the traffic eventually, you know, there's another proxy here. It eventually ends up with the Edge Hub service, right? So this is.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, this is how external ingress can work with Kubernetes, right? So this is nothing new. I mean, this is all things that you would already do if you wanted to have external traffic coming into workloads that are running in the cluster. Mm-hmm. That's the same way you do it even for Edge.
Yeah. And that's on-prem.
This is on-prem.
Yep.
And, you know, there are a couple of modes here. If you had multiple services in your Edge deployment, right, you had you had Edge Hub and the recently announced EventGrid service, right? Mm-hmm. You deployed both of these into your Edge workload. Now then what happens in this case, right? So both of those are load balancer services. Then essentially MetalLB will assign two different IP addresses.
Mm,
right?
Okay, yeah.
One for Edge Hub and one for EventGrid. This may be acceptable in some scenarios, use cases, in which case it's fine, but there are other scenarios where, you know, Customers say that we really want one IP address
to
reference all the workloads that are running on this edge cluster. I mean, the Kubernetes cluster running edge. And essentially, you know, I want, let's say 10.0.0.5, port 8883 to be the to the MQTT port, you know, targeting Edge Hub, or the MPP port, or 443 should get routed to EventGrid, right?
Yeah.
So if you wanted to set up something like that, then essentially you do a different different thing.
Okay.
Essentially, what you do is you leave this as the default, right? You go ahead and leave it as cluster IP.
Okay.
So which means that we don't provision an IP address for your service. It's just a cluster local service, right? The service is now accessible only within the Kubernetes cluster. And then you install a piece of software called an ingress controller to your cluster. So there are a bunch of ingress controller projects out there, you know, Nginx, HAProxy. There's one called Voyager, which is what we have used in a deep dive. So basically, if you go to our quick start documentation, there is a second walkthrough. There's a link to that at the end of the quick start. If you go and see that walkthrough, we use an ingress controller software called as Voyager, which is basically based on HAProxy. So what this thing does is you still need support for load balanced service type in your cluster, right? And then essentially you let Edge go and create cluster IP services in your cluster, and then you install and configure your ingress controller in your cluster. And what the ingress controller does is essentially you're able to specify a configuration that looks like this, right? You go ahead and create an ingress controller and configure it with something like any traffic that comes on port 8883, route it to a Kubernetes service called Edge Hub, right? Any traffic that comes on 1234, route it to EventGrid, right? So you're able to specify a configuration like this for your ingress, right?
But you'll have to have that, and you need to use default, the cluster IP, add this, and then you're able to route to the right reports. Okay.
So you basically go and create an instance of the ingress in your cluster with this configuration. And what ingress does is it turns around and creates a new service of type load balancer, right? So the ingress controller goes ahead and sets up a new service of type load balancer. So you can think of this as the ingress service. And then since this is of type load balancer, MLB comes in and assigns an IP to that service, right? Let's say 10.0.0.5. And then basically the idea here is that ingress kind of takes on the responsibility of routing traffic based on the port that the traffic is coming on to a Kubernetes service. So essentially, this gives you the ability to expose multiple services on the same IP address. So in this case, when a traffic comes into the cluster, it lands up just as before. It lands up with an MLB ingress, and then that thing takes that traffic, routes it to the ingress service. Ingress service takes that traffic, looks at the configuration to figure out the port mapping, forwards that traffic to a Kubernetes service, Edge Hub or EventGrid. And then the traffic finally lands up in Edge Hub.
It
right?
will get there.
Yeah,
that traffic.
After like a bunch of hops, it will get to the service, right? So this is, in a nutshell, how you do ingress for any workload, and that the same thing works for Edge. Cool.
And I think we had a couple more questions. One question is, how does X509 certs work for or set up for transparent gateway look like on a Kubernetes cluster? And then I think Venkat got in there and was just asking, is this for downstream devices? And yes, so there for downstream devices, how does X509 certs work?
Right.
Yeah.
So Venkat's a great guy to talk about for this particular aspect. And also there is a detailed walkthrough where you can actually go and try all this out for yourself. But in a nutshell, you know, the fact that we have an ingress controller that's like fronting your service, you have the flexibility now to do TLS termination at that point, right? Essentially, you're able to have the, so you have a downstream device, right? So device one. So this thing is connecting up to Edge Hub via this ingress. Now you have the ability to configure your ingress with a certificate, the issuer of which is trusted on this particular device. And you can basically do TLS termination at that point. And then the connectivity between this and Edge Hub, you know, depending on what ingress controller you're using. For example, if you're using Voyager, mm-hmm. you can configure Voyager, for example, to not worry about the TLS certificate for the internal traffic. For example, you can say TLS verify false, in which case it doesn't bother with verifying the server certificate that Edge Hub uses. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to use it in that mode if you care about that traffic as well. You can actually run Edge Hub with your own certificate, right? Essentially, just like in regular Edge. In normal Edge, if you want to do ingress from downstream devices, how do you do TLS? You go and specify in your Edge installation a particular owner's a device CA, right? You go in your config, you go and say, here's the device CA that you can use to issue certs for the server workloads yeah. inside your Edge deployment. It's the same way for the Kubernetes. So when you do a Helm install, there is an option where you can go and say, here is the cert that I want to use as the device CA, mm-hmm. the issuing cert. And then IoTHD will use that cert in order to issue certs to the workloads, like Edge Hub or EventGrid or any other service. So you can do that, right? And
yep.
now that you can specify a CA, then the issuer of that can be deployed to downstream devices, and now they know to trust that service. And you could do the same thing with the TLS server that the ingress is setting up for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Great, and I think all the other questions were answered during chat, and it looks like we have 5 more minutes left. So,
okay.
You know, if people had feedback where, you know, this is in public preview, so we're constantly getting feedback, where should they give that feedback to?
Sure.
If that way it could help you help the team pick which features to go ahead and support.
Right.
Yeah.
We actually have a bunch of avenues. Now that this, you know, this video is going to be on Channel 9, you can see it on YouTube. We will monitor those comment section, you know, if you want the primary, let me just bring up the slide here. You know, the primary feedback mechanisms are essentially, if you go to our docs.microsoft.com, we have a page that talks about this preview.
Mm-hmm.
So you could totally go and, you know, put your feedback there, and we are looking at that. All of this implementation is available on GitHub. So it's in a separate branch. It's not in master yet. Over the next few weeks, we are merging all of this into master. But feel free to go and raise issues on GitHub. If you run into problems or if you have feedback for us, you know, we are monitoring the GitHub issues. And we also have a user voice forum. And the link for that is up on the screen. So feel free to go and if you have feature asks, for example, if you have asks around, you know, specific Kubernetes features that we want to see light up in this integration, it's a great place to go and give us that feedback.
Perfect. And then I know that some people have questions when they go in Microsoft Docs. It's actually on the top right side, where you
right.
can submit that feedback. And then GitHub, you could either do issues or maybe even pull requests.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it's open source, so we would love if I contribute back to IoT Edge runtime.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have the tech communities.
Right.
So if you go to aka.ms, IoT tech communities, we have full conversations going there. We're posting the next deep dives there,
mm-hmm.
slides. We'll be posting these slides in that location. So there's a lot of ways to get a hold of us directly. So I want to thank you so much for joining. I'm super excited. I spent a lot of time learning Kubernetes and just seeing that it easily plugs in with the IoT Edge side
right.
and Kubernetes side, and there's doesn't look like there's a lot that needs to be changed.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is really nice,
right.
Especially when you're trying to go from proof of concept to production quickly.
That's right.
So I think that's great. And thank you for everyone joining and asking questions. And hopefully we got to all of your questions and continue to reach out to us.
Yeah.
So see you in 2 weeks for the next deep dive. Thanks, everyone.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.